The blessing of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious grace freely bestowed in the Son, and the power of the promised Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Ever-loving God, your Son gives himself as living bread for the life of the world. Fill us with such a knowledge of his presence that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life to serve you continually through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Love the little children,
all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from 1 Kings. David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 111 responsively. Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are your works, O Lord, honored by all the delight in them.
Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever.
You cause your ways to be remembered. You are gracious and full of compassion.
You give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant.
You have shown your people the power of your works in giving them the land.
The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity.
You sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice this have a good understanding. God's praise endures forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life. The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Do you remember the last time you were really thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. Your mouth just dry like cotton. Your throat parched, closing up. All you want is just a drink of water. Clean, cold, clear water. Can you feel that thirst in your mouth? Have you ever been really hungry? Now, I don't mean like you skipped breakfast this morning and you're feeling a little hunger, but really hungry. I don't think that any of us will probably ever experience the kind of hunger that so many people in Africa and Asia and even in places on our American streets. But even without experiencing that kind of hunger, we know that the human stomach needs to have food. It can't remain empty for very long. Food and drink. Our bodies demand that. Our bodies demand food for energy in order for us to go on. And it's only a short time before
our thirst must be quenched. We can't live without food and water. But we have other longings too, other desires that need to be filled, that need to be quenched. A few years ago, a book was written by a man named Mike Bickle, and the title of the book, The Seven Longings of the Human Heart. This is his list. The longing for assurance that we are loved. The longing for enjoyment. The longing to be beautiful. The longing to be great. The longing for intimacy without shame. The longing to be wholehearted and passionate. The longing to make a deep and lasting impact. Now, maybe you agree with that list, or maybe you disagree with that list, but the fact of human longings can't be disputed. There are human longings for us. We are created in the image of God, and God planted in our hearts an emptiness, a longing, a desire for love, a desire for God that only God can fill. Our deepest longing is for that love. Our deepest longing is for God. And every human person is blessed with that longing. And God is the only one who can quench that deepest thirst that we have, the only one whose love can create us and keep us and give us the energy and the life that allows us to put one step, one foot in front of the other. We want to be held safely and securely in the arms of the beloved who holds us securely and holds us through all of the dangers, the daily troubles, the life that we live. But we are all sinners. We are frail human beings, and we find substitutes to fill that longing spot in our heart, to quench that desire that we have that longs to be filled right now. We fill it with substitutes, fast cars, fast food, more convenience, more comfort, less responsibility, less consequences, more rights, complete freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want. We fill that hole in our heart, not with God, but with substitutes. We hear in this gospel reading today that Jesus gives us the ultimate food and drink, the only thing that can fill that spot, the only thing that can quench that thirst, fill that hunger. Jesus gives us the most simple gift of all, himself, bread that is his body, drink that is his blood poured out for us. We keep hearing about bread, well, not just ordinary bread, about living bread. Yesterday, as part of our, as we were pulling out of Tecate before we left town, we stopped at this bakery. It was an amazing bakery. It's probably, Jeff, do you think it's as big as this room? Maybe half. But there were probably 7,000 different kinds of bread. We will have one sample of that bread on the altar today for our communion bread that Jeff picked up. So many kinds of breads, so many opportunities to fill ourselves with different things. This bakery is open 24 hours a day, and there there's always a line for people going in to buy what's fresh. We line up. A couple weeks ago, we heard this story in the gospel about Jesus feeding the 5,000 people, feeding them bread. And then the next day, they're all there again, looking for more, looking to be fed, looking for something to fill that spot, maybe not in their heart, but at least in their stomach. And Jesus is trying to help them to move that center of longing from their tummies to their hearts. That is not just food that you're seeking. You're seeking a relationship, and that's in your heart. That's the longing that I can fill, Jesus tells those people. Now they're coming to him, and they hear this story. They hear this story that this is not at all like the story that you've been hearing from your ancestors, that when your ancestors were in the wilderness, God fed them with bread, and they died. That was food for their stomach. I'm talking about, Jesus says, I'm talking about bread that will feed your heart, that will give you life everlasting. What is this bread? Wouldn't that be great? I'm sure that my mom, when she was trying to feed 5 kids every day, day after day, she would have been very happy to find that Wonder Bread that we'd never have to eat again. That she would never have to prepare another meal. That's not what he's talking about. He says it's not about your stomach. It's about your heart. Living bread that gives life forever. It sounds too good to be true. Today, in the 21st century, we hear those words so differently from the people who heard them for the first time in the first century. When we talk about living bread, when we hear about living bread, our minds immediately go to Holy Communion, and we immediately think of the Eucharist and what we do here on Sunday morning. Living bread is part of our tradition, part of our faith tradition, and it has become for us a rather safe, maybe even tame image. But put yourself for a moment in the place of those people in the first century hearing this word. Now, for the Jewish people hearing this comment from Jesus, this teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, they would have been totally offended and repulsed. There's only for pious Jews, for holy people, for people trying to keep the law and keep themselves pure, there are three kinds of people that you must never touch. People with leprosy, people who are dead, and people who have a flow of blood or an open wound. Well, Jesus hits 2 of the 3. Eat my flesh. Well, the only way you could do that is if you'd be dead. They didn't know the story of the cross. We have that gift of the cross, the rest of the story, so we hear that in a different way. He says to them, drink my blood. This would be the most obscene thing that you could imagine. If you knew, if touching blood or someone with a flow of blood would cause you to be impure, unclean, which means you were not allowed to come into the synagogue, which means that you were not allowed to present yourself for prayer, you were cutting yourself, if you are unclean, you cut yourself off from the people, and you also cut yourself off from God. So when Jesus says, eat my flesh, drink my blood, the people were offended. That's offensive language. That's bordering on, it is, it's obscene. We can't stand this kind of talk. Maybe we, now in the 21st century, need to feel some of that power in those words of Jesus. Maybe we need to be mindful of what we do when we put our hand out to receive that piece of bread, when we taste that drop of wine on our tongue, to be mindful of what this really is. We have become so climatized, so used to this idea of the living bread that I think we've taken the power away, that we've lost the sense of real meaning. What are we doing when we come forward and put our hand out to receive that powerful gift? Let's be mindful of what we're doing to receive that most wonderful gift that has the promise. This is for you. To hear those words in our ears, to speak that amen to that promise. Yes, I believe this is the body of Christ for me. I am, in ingesting this body of Christ, becoming this food, this drink. I am becoming the body of Christ for you. You and I, when we receive communion, when we share in this body and blood of Jesus Christ, we become the body of Christ for the world. We become the body of Christ that lives forever, not in our tummies, but in our hearts. May that spirit of Jesus Christ, may that power, may that energy, may that life fill the longing that is in your heart today and always. Amen.